96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
This morning, it is Friday the 28th of May, 2021. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Erin Green, and this morning, we are on the clock. I'm so happy to be here today, not just because it's Friday, and that means tomorrow is the weekend, not just because once we get past this weekend, we have another holiday weekend coming up. I am excited because it is still mango season. Now you say, Ban Aaron, it's only, you only been talking about mango for like 4 weeks, 5 weeks. How could it not be mango season? But I don't know if y'all remember last year, right in the middle of mango season, we had a storm that blew off all the mangoes, at least in New Providence. We had a storm that came through and sort of abruptly ended mango season. So I am so happy that despite the strong winds that we've been having over the last couple of weeks, the mangoes are still holding firm. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And even before I get into the intro of the show, let me tell you, I've got an ad here by the Ministry of Finance. I just want to say I've been so impressed by the Department of Inland Revenue and the Ministry of Finance and the progress they've made on the digitalization project. Not just that, I'm absolutely impressed by their capacity and ability to disseminate information and that they see the importance of that. Like, these are the things that inspire me. So even though I'm coming on the show today and I come in on the show today with some critique for those that govern us, you know, I also want to be able to create space to acknowledge the good work that is going on in our government and by those responsible for governing us. So this message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Get the facts about MyGateway, the new centralized secure portal where you can register, request, pay for, and access a range of online services provided by the government of the Bahamas. For more information, you can send an email anytime to mygateway@bahamas.gov.bs. Contact the call center at 242-604-4357 or visit mygateway.gov.bs. Again, this message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Now, there's a lot in the news today before we get into our Culture Friday segment with another phenomenal guest. First off, today is International Menstrual Hygiene Day. I just want to mention that because I don't want you all to just think it's only Bahamian women or advocates that are concerned about women, their menstrual health, and their ability to work, to navigate the world, and take care of their basic bodily functions. So this is an important day, and again, I want to recognize the move by the government to remove the duty from feminine hygiene protection products like pads and tampons. This is a great step in the right direction, and we are going to celebrate it. Also, remember, pennies must be turned in soon. What are you doing with your pennies? Call me today and let me know what you're doing with your pennies. And I can tell you what I want to do with my pennies. I want to turn a bedroom, a floor in one of the bedrooms in my house into a penny floor. I want to clean up all the pennies I could find, shine them up, and then figure out how to create a design with them on my bedroom floor. That's what I'm going to do with them. That is of course, if I can withstand the requests of the many charities that are asking people to donate their pennies to them for various activities and projects. So that's also a good idea. Some more things in the news. Now, I saw a list. It looked like a formal list of duty-free items, right? Floating around. I'm not sure if it is a correct list or not, but let me tell you why I'm not sure if it's a correct list or not. There's some good things on it, you know. But why are we removing the duty on canned tomatoes? Shouldn't we use duty on canned tomatoes as a mechanism to protect a local canned tomato industry? That is, if we had one, because nobody seems to think it important to ensure that people can access canning machines in tomato season when we have a surplus of tomatoes going to waste. Also, on the list is iPad. That's all it says, iPad. And I want to say, I thought computers were already duty-free. Why is iPad on this list? Because it seems like it's a list of things that have been added, right? Also, canned fish is on the list. Why aren't we canning fish in the Bahamas? We could do it. We have so much fish, so many different varieties, right? We could be canning fish as well. Also on the list is tofu. Now, I need to make this point for all my vegan friends. If this is in fact true and tofu is now duty-free, the vegan peoples, us peoples who eat tofu, we expect to see a reduction in prices and menus across the country. You can't be killing the vegans with the price of a tofu dish if they remove the duty on tofu. And I know what I hear at every restaurant is, Rasta don't eat tofu. Man, listen, the way things are going, some Rasta communities are eating chicken because they can't afford fish. So I hope to see a reduction in the cost of tofu dishes from all my vegan and vegetarian restaurants if this is the case. I have a texter here that says, tofu tastes bad. Y'all ain't safe. You know what tastes bad? Gas. Gas tastes bad. That's what we have to remember. Sometimes we have to eat what is available to us. And that's, tofu is obviously a very processed plant, a processed product, right? From soy. It's not the same as going in your yard and picking some green leaves and eating them because you are vegan. But tofu tastes like how you season it. Like most of life, tofu tastes like how you prepare it. Another text, great show as usual. I am a fan of your show. Question, how come we as people don't want to hear the truth? People need to realize the truth don't always sound good. Another question, how come the PM specify VAT-free on feminine hygiene like Max Pads and a Maxi Pad? How come he specified VAT-free on those things? I went through that yesterday because he is approximately 4.5 years too late. It was a decision that should have been made as they entered government. Like when they sat down and they decided that one of the first things they wanted to debate was whether they should give themselves an increase in pay, that's when they should have done it. It should have been done a long time ago. In fact, if we're going to incentivize the creation of any industry, it should be an industry creating feminine hygiene products like tampons and pads, but also diapers, Pampers, and adult diapers. And now, with the potential of the liberalization of the cannabis industry, hopefully, right? The next step, because these bills are, it seems, streamlined for medicinal cannabis, right? Cultivation, production, and use. As soon as we get into the industrial hemp legislation, hopefully somebody will be incentivized to create these products from a composite material or a composition of marijuana and cotton and other natural fibers, right? To make these tampons and pads. I'm hoping that we see that very, very soon. Another text, morning, three straight now, FNM, FNM, FNM. I read that text because I did not read your text 3 days in a row, and I am sorry, Texter. It's good to see you, and it's good to see your confidence still in the FNM. And so I want to just make a quick transition, because here's something else that was in the news today that concerned me. Revised bill removes tax on cannabis. And in the article, the co-chair of the National Commission on Marijuana is quoted as saying, for the consumer, any taxes, if any, should be consistent with other medications that they might get in the country. And so what they're saying is, if you are purchasing a medicinal marijuana product that was prescribed to you by a doctor, you shouldn't have to pay taxes on it in the same way that you don't have to pay taxes on other medications prescribed by a doctor. But he goes on to say, but from the back end, I think for the various stages of processing, manufacturing, and cultivation, there should be some licensing structure to help regulate the industry and also generate funds. He said taxes on the back end process of the industry should not be prohibitive to discourage Bahamians from partaking in the industry. So, watch this. Don't you have to get a license to participate in this industry? Isn't that like a fee? Isn't it like a licensing structure to help regulate the industry and also generate funds? Doesn't that already exist in the legislation? Why are y'all stuck on taxing a tax? Why do y'all continue to push this as a viable model? As soon as I make some actual money from this 10 billion soursop I have, I don't have 10 billion soursop, please don't call me. I am going to launch a legal case and to find out why is the state taxing taxes? Why are you charging us VAT on duty? Why would you charge a tax on a business that I already have to pay a license for? Is this really just an exercise in making money and generating revenue? Are we really thinking through what it is we're doing here? So I say that's why I'm a little confused by the things on this duty-free items list. Why is canned fish duty-free? Why aren't we figuring out how to encourage a local fish canning industry? I just wanted to put that out there. Also, I wanted to note in that very same article in The Guardian today, further on, it says, however, legislation to decriminalize small quantities of cannabis and legalize medicinal cannabis was not among those bills tabled recently. Y'all pay attention to this, especially to the people who are already smoking and feel like just because the government is having a conversation that you are freer to smoke in public. The thing's still illegal. And even when they pass legislation to decriminalize it, it will still be illegal. It's time for Bahamians who are serious about decriminalization and liberalization of marijuana to form real, substantive lobby organizations. This ain't no more play thing. Get serious about it and invest money in it, please. Anyway, I've got a couple of texts here. I have a rent-a-car company, and he said duty-free on every for business. So when I bring in my car next week on the Betty Kay, I don't expect to pay customs duty on that car. Dear texter, don't play. Go find a lawyer, go find a tax lawyer, and make sure that you're doing the right thing here. Make sure you're doing the right thing, please. And I don't know if those apply yet. I don't even know if the thing has been passed. So don't play. Don't get your car seats. Another text. Only good thing about tofu is that it looks like cheese. Soy is a hormone disruptor. When I am king of the world, all soy will be turned into soy sauce. I mean, that's a vibe. it is a hormone disruptor. And we should be careful about the amounts of tofu that we're consuming and the amounts of soy that we're consuming on a regular basis, considering the country's collective experience with cancer and in particular breast cancer. Good morning. Oh, my God. I took a weekend trip to the island of Staniel Key. Extra. Didn't take no essential with me. Went to the grocery store. It's a disgrace on the prices on grocery items in those stores. How do the people survive on that key? Where's the price control? Please, they need to go there. The prices are over ridiculous. Thank you, Texter. We need to have a whole show on this, right? Because these things trickle down when as they pass down to the family islands, right? Some people, that is why so many people are moving to the capital, because they're trying to figure out how to survive. We do need real economic reform and price control, but real. See, you can't just remove the duty on an item. You need regulations in place to ensure that the businesses will not take advantage of that reduction on duty, but not pass on the reduction to the customer. Another text. You give me strength and hope for the Bahamian people. Please keep up the good on educating the Bahamian people on how to think. Thank you. I thought there was little hope, but Bahamian people like you will save the Bahamian people in our beautiful islands. Thank you. Just note this. There are tons of Bahamian people like me out there. And that's where I get this from. Examples, role models, people who showed me that there are ways to do this thing. So thank you very much. And let this be encouragement to all the people out there who are lending their voices to their communities to try and make a better country. I see we got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I am blessed, man. And good morning to those who wake up in the land of the living. Ms. Green, you could swim, right?
Yes, sir.
I can carry you down in some deep waters this morning. So you have on your diving suit or your oxygen tank. Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Out of all of the concessions that our honorable, kind-hearted Prime Minister gives to the Bahamian consumers,
uh-huh,
right? When, how, and where we can get this money to pay back? That's one,
mm-hmm,
right? Okay. If you give concessions on just about everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to generate or how are you going to leash basically when it comes to tax, only the poor people feel it. So what else tax are you going to give the people? Because eventually, Ms. Green, it's good to borrow money, you know. But remember one thing, ma'am, you have to pay it back.
Listen, you making some excellent points. I can't disagree with you at all. Unless you are super rich. The super rich don't care about paying money back, you know.
Ah, thank you.
I going to say, or Trump. You'll be one of them.
Let me ask you another deeper question.
Yes, sir.
Past, present, and I pray to God, not future governments.
Uh-huh.
Why is it that we cannot implement income tax for certain people in this country? Do you realize you got certain people in this country makes millions of dollars,
uh-huh,
off the poor people, and they don't pay the burden of proof, whereas the tax lays back on the poor people.
And listen, let me give you a perfect example, right? In the advocacy world, our access to funding is limited by GDP and other economic factors about the country.
Very much so.
The economic status of the country is skewed by the amount of money that sits on the books but doesn't actually flow through the economy, right? On the advocacy side, though, I am prevented from accessing a whole ton of funding because my country don't look poor on paper.
Automatically. Oh, but Ms. Green, okay,
right,
you got to get ready now. You're getting ready now to flood the employment line with people, with workers. Okay, good. When you decide, like you say, to hire all of those persons, when that money runs out that you borrowed, not that you was that
generated,
was given or generate,
yeah,
but what you borrowed, what are you going to do with those couple of thousands of persons that you hired, the only thing you can do is say you have to lay them off.
Yeah.
Because the money run out. Because you don't have no money generating coming in to sustain, to continue on paying them.
But yeah.
This, you know, Miss Green, I to be real with you, ma'am. When I listen to people in this country who supposed to be the movers and shakers, some of them, it's really disappointing. And any time when you talk about a D-average, some of these people who you have in these critical positions in this country, they be on a D. Because, you know, it's a thing called modest wit and a thing called common sense. And I tell a lot of people, you don't have to go to school to have a BA, a DA, or AA, or whatever you call it. Just have common sense and be able to understand. But Ms. Green, it's frustrating, but, you know, I pray that Bahamian people in this country, that every day that, you know, y'all could find something to... Ms. Green, I really don't care about what's going on in this country. You know, the only thing my concern is poor people.
I got you. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, because when Ms. Green or I can find something to eat, and the next brother and sister can find something to eat,
yeah.
You know, and any time you fail your people, I can leave you with this. Anytime you fail your people... are not sustaining them or helping them or light water, food, shelter, health care, you hang your head down in shame as a government. But you have a blessed weekend, Ms. Green.
Look here, thank you. You raised so many points. Yes, there are some great incentives and some perks inside this budget, but anybody that benefits from this budget has to sit down and ask themselves, who will not benefit because I had the opportunity to benefit.
Like to make a call?
We got to practice some personal responsibility here, right? And like he said, we have to sit down and any time we find some money, we have to ask where did it come from and who will not be able to use it because we are now using it over here. And so when I hear people say and start to say things like, oh, people, we're going to be poor and we got to eat ramen noodle and the thing going to be rough. I want to remind people that you could make your own noodles, you know. Like, you don't have to be subject to eating what we call, quote unquote, poor people food. It's poor people food because of the quality of the production. But you could make noodles. You could make a high quality noodle at home for less money that you spend in the store if you do it properly. If you buy the flour in bulk, if you store it properly. You see what I'm saying? If you invest in some bags to freeze it or to dry it out properly, right? Like, we could do this. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to live in poverty. We can come together and organize and strategize. Oh my goodness, we are running out of time, and I have so much more I gotta touch on in the news before we get to our Culture Fridays segment. So let's start here. Dear Mr. Kwesi Thompson, yesterday, like today, I want to apologize to you for giving you a hard time in my intro. I was very concerned about you and how eager it seemed that you were to be carrying the red box that I like to call Pandora's box. I want to apologize because maybe I didn't make it clear to you why I was concerned. I was concerned because it seemed as if you were not concerned about the potential of the political culture consuming everything in its path. And even today, just today, in The Guardian, I could see that my concerns were not far off base. Minister of State for Finance Kwesi Thompson said yesterday the Bahamas' economic recovery is dependent on the willingness of Bahamians to get the COVID-19 vaccine. So far, however, the government has only secured enough vaccines to vaccinate 60,000 people. Hear that? The Minister of State for Finance yesterday expressed that our economic recovery is dependent on the willingness of Bahamians to get the COVID-19 vaccine. However, y'all only been able to secure 60,000 vaccines. Or 120, enough to vaccinate 60,000 people. There's a part in here where he said that we have to look at it holistically. We want you to look at this holistically. The reality is that if we as a nation are able to reach our target quickly when it comes to vaccination, then that makes us a far more attractive country when it comes to tourism. Dear sir, see when you touch that red box, strange things has happened. You want us to look at it holistically? When are you going to have more than 60,000 vaccines? That's it. When are you going to have more than 60,000 vaccines? I see I got a caller on the line. Caller, I'm coming to you in a second. I just want to make this last announcement before I go. I, too, would like to say congratulations to Mr. Eugene K. Robinson, celebrating his 50th anniversary of graduating from SAC, class of 1971. There is an ad in today's Guardian. And let me tell you something. Y'all don't know school pride until your alum put an ad in the paper celebrating the 50th anniversary of graduating from SAC. Now, mind you, this gentleman from SAC has done some big, big things in this country. And he lists those, right, in this ad. But I just wanted to say to all the SACers out there, don't let nobody knock you all here, especially us QC Comets. Y'all be proud of your school. Be proud of the culture that you are creating, you know. Be proud of yourselves, all of y'all, because y'all is my friend, even if I's a QC Comet. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. And thanks for that, too, because I'm a graduate of SAC.
Good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning. Listen, Aaron, I called because I was trying to get onto the Dwight show earlier. He had on about the John Canoes. But my comment, and I want to preface this by saying, I am a John Canoe.
Okay.
But the country is in such dire straits. I was just really amazed that right after the budget, so the one thing that can be hyped up and concentrated on is something that might get the inner city folks excited. Speaking about Junkanoo, you know, and Junkanoo even just entails Nassau, entails the family islands.
Mm-hmm.
People don't have food, people don't have house, people don't have all types of, to daily survive.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know if COVID going or ain't going.
Yep.
To be talking about Junkanoo and to see that be the topic of something, oh, the prime minister give some land or some Junkanoo. Yeah. In an orchestrated time, I think we can celebrate that. In a time like this, when we are kind of lost in the wilderness, we don't know what's happening in COVID. We don't know who's going to get vaccinated. We don't know who can have a job. We don't know how we're going to put food on our table. We don't know what's going to happen in terms of keeping our children occupied during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we put the cart before the horse.
Absolutely.
I wanted to render that, and that's why I preface that as saying I'm a junkanooer. But at the same time, are we even going to have a country to have Junkanoo?
Absolutely.
Moving forward. That's my concern, is the prioritizing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, prioritizing of issues, or worse, the playing of politics with people's lives.
Yes.
Right? Because why aren't you creating a housing facility, considering the number of people that have already lost their homes? Or
yes.
Been kicked out of properties, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you create a housing facility, create a recreational area that can be used. At Junkanoo,
yes.
Time as a temporary shack, but throughout,
yeah,
the rest of the year be used for other functions.
Yeah. And, you know, my thing is, too, I guess my little small complaint is that the media plays such a big role in educating the public.
Yeah.
Out of all those really dire things that needs to be discussed on the budget, 2 days after the budget, the only thing we can discuss, we get the inner city riled up about Junkanoo, when we don't know where they can get the money from to build the facilities. Are they going to be able to mingle together because of the COVID?
Now,
is the country going to be back on its feet yet?
I put that blame...
I
put that blame on us, the people. We need to organize ourselves and create groups, mechanisms, right? Organizations. There should be a private sector body that gives a stipend to COB students or UB students or young, just new graduates to pass through the debate. So by day one, we already have info to talk about and to analyze and to critique. And by the end of the week, we could engage the public with a small, you know, a short-term discussion on the budget points, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's up to us, the people, to invest in what we think is important to us.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
but listen, I gotta go.
Okay.
My guest is in the Zoom room waiting to bust through on the show. And is a fabulous guest this morning, man.
Okay, thanks for allowing me to come, man.
No, man, absolutely. You made a wonderful point. And it's Culture Friday. right? That's why I take it. It's Culture Friday, and it's a good point. This is from a Junkanooa telling you that he's not quite certain why you're making these budget allocations, what's the point, and whether it's the right thing to do. Good things, man. Kaiman, let's roll into a break. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to introduce my guest for this week's Culture Friday segment. You're listening to 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green on this Friday, the 28th of May, 2021. Stay tuned, because I'm going to have some mango news at the end of the show. Have a great break. Go get some juice. Go grab one mango off the tree or some cherries. See if you have any dilly left. Come back to your radio. We'll be right here on 96.9 FM.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
COVID-19. Do not panic. Be prepared. Stay informed about local COVID-19 updates from trusted and reliable sources. Wash your hands regularly and be sure to have hand sanitizers readily available. Keep your surroundings clean and disinfect all surfaces that carry germs. Talk to your family and friends about protecting themselves and staying healthy. For more information on COVID-19, check the Ministry of Health's website at www.bahamas.gov.bs/health and the Bahamas Ministry of Health Facebook page.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Good morning, Bahamas, and welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. It is Friday, 28th of May, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And today is a Culture Friday. I love Culture Fridays. I love engaging with artisans, cultural stakeholders, young professionals who I may not know of at all, I was barely familiar with, and introducing them to the Bahamian public. Some people have never heard of them before. Some people are familiar with their work and cherish an opportunity to hear from them. So far, the list of guests that have been provided by Cultural Experience Productions and Angelique McKay has been phenomenal, right? And when you see the amount of talent in our country, you ask yourself, well, why are we worried about tourism at all? Why are we worried about tourism at all if we have a country full of not just creative people, but performers and producers, people who can take creative ideas and bring them to life? And so it is my pleasure to introduce my guest today, Mrs. Ianthea Smith-Ferguson, local blogger and media influencer. But not just that, she's a media specialist, a content creator, and a creative in her own right. Good morning, Ianthea Ferguson. How are you? Good morning. Oh, my. Kermit, is she there? Good morning, Ianthea. Are you still there?
Can you hear me, Erin?
Oh, I can hear you now. There we go.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, listen, and my apologies for taking so long to get into the show, but maybe you have figured it out by now. I intend on having you on again for another segment.
Oh, okay. Good to hear. Well, I'm here whenever you need.
Absolutely, and you better be because of the rich catalog of work that you have developed in the Bahamas. Your experience as a TV anchor means that we have to cherish you and look to you to help us build this country.
Definitely. I'm here for whatever you need, whatever the country needs, wherever I can help. Always willing to, you know, just be there and lend a hand.
Absolutely. Now, in the time of COVID and during this pandemic, we should have seen by now that our creatives and our content creators, our musicians, our writers, our comic strip creators, these people are or should be recognized as essential workers.
Yes, I think during the pandemic and just everyone being home and locked down and locked in for so long, people had no choice but to tap into their creative strengths. And I think so many new businesses, so many new ventures, so many new projects have been born out of, you know, what was a really downtime for the world pretty much. And I've seen so many people just come out of this thing swinging. People who didn't consider themselves creatives are now considering themselves a creative just based on what they were able to birth during the pandemic. And so whether that's, you know, learning how to plait straw, learning how to make your jams and your jellies at home, learning how to bake, learning how to cook, learning how to write or shoot videos right at home to post online, we have seen, or I have seen personally, so many people just come out of this thing ready to take on just a new way and a new form of life for themselves.
Absolutely. Listen, there was a moment in the middle of the pandemic, right, where I was becoming more and more frustrated with the uncertainty and becoming a bit depressed with the inability to generate income in my normal businesses, right? And there was a reporter on the street doing interviews with, you know, on the street common man interviews, and this reporter stopped and asked this woman if she got a test yet, right? Mm-hmm. And she tapped her ear and started snorting and said, "No, I have sinus. I can't mess with that," right? And nobody knew. No, I think very few people in that very moment knew that she was a comedian, that she is a comedian.
Wow.
And a social media, like, she did the thing, and you're not supposed to do this on radio, but she did the thing where you go, right?
Uh-huh.
And you clear your sinuses. And the reporter was stunned. And it was in that moment, I laugh and I laugh and I laugh and I laugh until the depression lifted entirely.
Wow.
And then I had to tell, because everybody was like, "Oh, you see that? Some are people so silly or ignorant," right? And then I had to point out to people that, no, this isn't ignorance. This is comedic brilliance, right?
Yeah, comedic relief. Maybe that's why she got through the pandemic, by just, you know, laughing at herself.
And I think a lot of people were able to make it through the pandemic because every time they turn on their phone is another Bahamian, someone who sound like them, cracking a joke,
mm-hmm,
or bringing a funny word, turning a little moment into some creative content to brighten somebody's day.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, my space, my zone in the creative space really hinges on being a digital content creator, whereas I write, I shoot videos. But creatives as a whole, I mean, that spans such a wide area of who a creative is. You're a creative, Erin, radio talk show host. We have singers, songwriters, like you say, our playwrights, our comedy and skit writers. We have creatives of all sorts who are just literally making people's lives happier. And I think, you know, that's something that should be recognized, should be applauded, and on a greater level, should be kind of taken care of. You know, like you said earlier, you know, we need to take care of our people. And I think the space that we are in needs so much more coming together, first of all.
Yeah.
And second of all, we need a lot more recognition than we're getting right now.
Absolutely. But I think generally, like globally, we don't acknowledge the true contributions that creatives, whether, you know, artists, visual, hand, mm-hmm, and pen to paper, or digital artists and technicians, we don't acknowledge. And it's almost as if we cannot see yet. We don't actually have the capacity to see everything that they touch. The signs that they create, the websites that they create, the pamphlets, right?
Right.
The extent to which our world is actually created by the creatives.
Yep. Every single thing that you consume, whether that's online or offline, was touched by a creative in some way. You know, the food you eat, your favorite pastry shop that you visit on a Friday because you want something sweet. That's a creative in the kitchen putting their craft, their passion, their inspiration into a product that you have fallen in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And so the creative feel, like I said, just spans so many different people. And how do we bring this together? How do we make it whole? How do we, you know, make the government, you know, see that there are people out here like me? If I can give you an example, you know, I have people from around the world wanting to send me free products to help me create content that can reach either people locally or people internationally. But because we have no real, I guess, laws or real regulations for this industry, everything that they, if they send me something for my baby and they want me to post it on my Instagram or write a blog post about it or do a review on it for my YouTube channel, it's free because I didn't pay for it. But now I have to pay once it reaches my courier service here.
Yeah.
I got to pay tax. I got to pay the VAT. I got to pay the customs duty. And sometimes it just ends up not even making any sense because I end up being in the hole for a product that was free to me.
Yeah.
And so we can't do the job that we want to do at the level that we want to do it. And we talk about competing with, you know, the international market. If you're living in the States, you could have people send you items left, right, and center for free, and you could create that content consistently. But being on the island, being on the rock, you just don't have that leisure, you know? You have to pay for things that should have been free to you.
Wow. So listen, what's the viability of starting an association or a union, right, of practitioners?
Uh-huh.
And what's the and you've given us some of the importance of it.
Well, right now, we absolutely need something because everyone's out there, everyone who is in the creative space right now, and again, I'm just solely speaking from my avenue of it, which is the content creator, online digital marketer space,
yeah,
the blogger, the influencer, the podcaster. Speaking from that angle, right now we do need it because we're just out here pretty much just winging it. You know, everyone's doing their own thing. And with that being the reality right now, there's really no standard for the level of work, one. There's no standard even in terms of what are we pricing brands to work with us. You could have someone at a high level charging, hey, you know, pay me $500 for a post on Instagram. Whereas they could go to another creative in the space and be like, you know, oh, I'll just take 30 for it. And so you could, and you know what that does to markets, even for, you know, what you would call traditional businesses, when one company is charging high, high, high price when another is charging low, low, low price, it kind of doesn't bring any uniformity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, that's where we're at. There's no uniformity there. It's just, we're just out here pretty much winging it. And so to come together, I think, and get creatives in this space, it just kind of figure out what it is that we want, figure out how we want the industry to run, figure out what we want it to look like, figure out how we want to get people to respect us, you know?
Yeah.
How we want to get people to respect our fees and respect our rates and pay us what we're worth. You know, I think it would absolutely be, you know, just beneficial for all of us.
Not just that. I think it's a must do, right? I think it's a necessity,
yes,
for the participation of Bahamian creatives and digital content creators in the new Wharfport downtown development.
Absolutely. We could absolutely, you know, find video creators and writers and sketch artists and just anybody in that space to bring this thing to life, help give it the, I guess, the life that it could have, help bring it on par with, you know, other world developments. Because, I mean, we are the ones who can tell the story. And that's kind of my thing with being a content creator. It's helping to tell the story. So what is the story of the Bahamas? What is the story of this Port Wharf downtown development? What is the story that you want to get out there? And, you know, we as creatives have the eyes and the ears of people, not just in the Bahamas, but from around the world. You know, we have done the work. We have built the audiences. We have built the tribes, like we like to call them, that mm-hmm. are all over the world. And we are international. I have been featured in Essence Magazine and also written for Essence Magazine. I can get stories about the Port Wharf downtown development, you know, on there.
Yeah.
I have been featured in Forbes Travel Guide, also written for Forbes Travel Guide, as well as Exo Nicole. And so, you know, we have access to audiences that the government may not have access to.
Right. Absolutely. Listen, absolutely. So what do you think are the top three career opportunities for creatives and content creators? Or let me change that, right? What are the top three skill sets do you think people who want to be content creators should gain right now?
I think right now, video is everything. And I think once you can learn how to tell a story via video, you'd be good. Like, you have people like Stephen Hanna, a friend of mine, you know, he is so good at telling a story, delivering a message on camera, and on camera is where it's at. I know blogs and the written content is good, but video is really where it's at. So I'd say really start with video. Mm-hmm. Learn how to use social media to your benefit. A lot of people feel like, I've actually heard people say, oh, Facebook is the devil. Oh, no, it's not. Facebook is the devil that you want it to be to you. You know, Facebook isn't the devil for me. For me, it's a media by which I help to tell my stories, by which I help to build my audience and share stories and share tips and share advice with people. So use social media to your advantage. It's not just to scroll and read the gossips and, mm-hmm. you know, laugh at people or read memes. You could actually use it as a really powerful tool for your business.
Yeah.
The third thing I would say to do would be just to kind of build your audience, whether online as well as offline. In the Bahamas, we are still very, you know, in-person. We grow by in-person experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just need to build your audience. Find your tribe. Find who those people are who are in the same space as you, who are looking for the work that you're putting out, who want to learn from you, and just kind of build your tribe and build your audience.
All right, so I am ready for the weekend. I having an exciting day. Like, I'm happy today, right? So I want to throw something out there that wasn't on the list of questions.
Uh-huh.
So in today's paper, we see the Minister of National Security talking about the advancement of the Marco Alert System, right? And they've put up new billboards, right? So I'm a young person. I want to get into this content creation vibe. And I hear this announcement from the minister, and I realize this is a great opportunity because they're going to need to run PSAs and content on those billboards when there's not a specific alert being broadcast, right? What's the first thing I need to go do? Or is there a group of people right now, young people, is there a course at BTVI where I could go right now to start preparing myself to put in a proposal to government to create content for that billboard? For those billboards?
Well, right now, I don't know if there are courses available, well, traditional per se.
Uh-huh.
I got my associates in journalism and mass comm when it was COB at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if UB right now is actually focusing on, say, content creation per se as a course, or
yeah.
BTVI is, but I know that you can do some journalism courses.
Okay.
But if you would like to be like a part of that billboard thing, I'd say get your crew together and start just generating content. Start thinking about what content you can put together, whether that's written, whether that's visual, whether that's video or audio, and start pitching.
Yeah.
Just start pitching to the government and be like, hey, this is what we think people would want to see. This is what we think people would want to hear. We've tried this out. We've posted it on our Instagram or on our Facebook. Look at the feedback we've received, and we think it'll do well. Just start creating the content.
Absolutely. Look here, that is fabulous advice. Now, as we end the show, I want to ask you a couple of questions kind of roll into one, right? You made the move, well, in 2013, you started blogging, right? You started blogging, you created a social media presence, and you started engaging the world. But by the end of 2014, you had left your broadcasting career entirely and your position as a TV anchor to become a full-time blogger and media specialist. What inspired that move, and what advice do you give to people that are considering moving from a traditional workspace to a entrepreneurial workspace?
Well, what inspired the move, I just needed to breathe. I just felt like I needed some time away from mainstream media. People don't realize, but I actually have been writing for the Nassau Guardian. That's where I got my start, you know, since I was 16 years old, still in high school, working for the student section that they had, and that I just loved being in that space. But I had worked at the Tribune, worked at the Guardian, worked at ZNS, worked at GCN, and I'm just like, none of these places at the time were giving me what I wanted, and that was to more so be an entertainment reporter. I wanted to create entertainment-driven stories and videos, and it was just all about crime and politics and unions. And I'm just like, I just need a space where I could be that entertainment reporter that I wanted to be, you know. And I just started out with a web show called The Click, where I was just interviewing local artists, local singers and writers and performers on the scene here in the Bahamas. And it started to pick up, and I started my blog as well, where I just was talking about my everyday life. And
awesome.
People started to read it and comment and, you know, just get into what I was doing. And I'm like, you know what, maybe I can just try this and see what happens. And I literally just cold turkey quit my job to pursue my career to be an entertainment writer. And I am still here kicking and going.
No, man, absolutely. And you're one of the country's leading bloggers and social media influencers and writers.
Thank you.
No, absolutely. Thank you for the contribution you've made to the country, not just documenting culture, but growing culture as well through your own participation in it, right? And through that which you create yourself. I am tongue-tied right now because I'm trying to figure out how to ensure that you come back for the second show, because I would like to construct a panel of professionals to discuss the potential opportunities that will arise or that may arise or that can arise. We could force them to arise with the new Port Wharf downtown development. Mm. And I think that the confidence that experienced practitioners have brought to this Culture Fridays segment is all these young people need to head them down the right path, right, in terms of their own personal and professional development.
Yes, I think we're in a good spot right now just to burst at the seams with growth, because we have so much talent, much talent in this country, and I think we just don't know how to tap into that, especially in a field that's so non-traditional. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just used to, you know, the traditional way of doing life and doing careers, but now we have this big pot of Bahamians who are just sitting on our hands and like, okay, what's next for us? How can our government assist us? How can we, you know, just bust out of the seams? And when you compare yourselves to creatives like in the UK and in the US, I'm just sitting like, the opportunities that they get, I'm like, I just wish we just had just an ounce of that, you know? But we're at the place where we can make this something, but again, we need that little come together, that come to Jesus moment,
right,
that come to Jesus body of creatives who can sit down and say, you know what, this is how we can kind of just build a community and an organization around what we're doing.
Right, and organize, strategize, and build the partnerships necessary with the institutions that have the funding necessary to elevate the entire industry. And so
absolutely,
what I'm saying is, we're not necessarily making content for tourists first. We make content for ourselves first.
Absolutely.
Knowing that the people come here will be delighted to learn about us.
Yes, I agree. I mean, the majority of my target audience right now are Bahamians, because they want to hear the stories of people who look like them, who sat in seventh grade biology with them, the people who they see in the food store. Like, they want to hear from us. And so
right,
that's who I really create my content for. If it reaches someone outside, great, awesome. But my main people in my tribe are absolutely Bahamians.
Absolutely. Ianthea Smith-Ferguson, thank you so much for joining me today on the clock in our Culture Friday segment. I got to read just a couple of texts before Kermit kicks me off the air, because you know, Levon Millen unleashes up next, and we can't miss that. But my first text, good morning. I'm going to throw all my pennies after these politicians. If you keep thinking like that, you could throw all your money after them too. Don't think like that. Let's do something constructive with our pennies. I don't know how you can talk about forming a canning industry and you are the same one talking about increasing minimum wage. We will never have factories because our labor is much more expensive than Mexico and other places where they have cheaper labor. We had a tomato factory and it was too expensive. No, it wasn't too expensive. It wasn't too expensive at all. We just have more dollars and cents, and we could fix that faster than BPL could fix the problem with continuous electricity supply. Another text, I have a way to generate money. If I vote FNM and FNM win, I don't have to pay VAT. But if the FNM win, whoever vote PLP and DNA have to pay double VAT and double taxes. Man, look here, that's called a game of chance. And it's unfair. I mean, that's hilarious text, but unfair. Good morning. That text is so right. That island, Staniel Key, the prices in those stores are overpriced. Terrible bad. The price control need to go over there. They are overdoing it. The tourists complain a lot, too. Trust me, they don't have no other choice. I'm going to be honest with you. Price control needs to go to BPL. There should be a Department of Price Control at BPL to determine why for decades your light bill was the same as your mortgage. That's where we need price control. We need to fix the energy crisis. We need to decide how we are going to ensure that family islanders have reasonably priced electricity, not subsidized by New Providence, by solar and other alternative means. We are destroying our family islanders and family islands. We have no care or concern for them. People could barely afford to live and buy pads and tampons. Gas in some places is almost twice it is in Nassau. This is ridiculous what we're doing to these people, and they deserve better because they are us, equal and equitable participants in this country. Thank you, Kermit. Because I was just about to call Kwesi Thompson's name and tell him to remember, whenever you have that hand on that red box, you are taking responsibility for the entire country. Thank you for joining me today. I've been on a long time. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all your texts. I want to say thank you to Ianthea Smith-Ferguson, and thank you to Mr. Levon Miller for not rushing the room and taking the mic, because I know he has a show lined up for you guys today. Thanks for tuning in to On the Clock with Erin Green, and I will see you guys on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy yourself and take care of each other.
Outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
This